Thank you. Well, I just want to make a request this morning. I'm going to talk about prosperity, so I want you to tune in and not tune out. Sometimes we want to tune out when we talk about prosperity, and today I want to talk about the spiritual perspective. From a spiritual perspective, what is prosperity? How does it work? You know, it makes sense, if you would, that that which created us and gave us the ability to create would give us a process through which we can meet our needs each and every day, can meet our temporal needs, can meet our mental needs, can meet our physical needs, and so as we and our spiritual needs. And as we understand that and take that into an understanding that's a little deeper than just prosperity is all about money, it's really all about how you live your life, how you feel, and what you want to open yourself up to. And so, this morning as we talked about this idea of spiritual laws, that's what I call them, of prosperity, I've taken from Edwin Gaines, the four laws of prosperity. I've taken from spiritual economics with our friend Eric Butterworth, and several other books that I've read, and then some of my own thoughts, if I may. And so the first thing I want to say is that the first thing we have to do is learn to forgive. And so we're looking at this, the first thing we have to do is learn to forgive. There it says forgiveness. And what is forgiveness? You know, it makes sense sometimes when you think about it that we really don't want to forgive. That we kind of enjoy kind of holding the other person in a, you know, as having wronged us. That we don't want to really give that up because we think we have the upper hand. And that we also understand that we have to in order to really be comfortable and to be in joy, to live life comfortably. There was a fellow named Kenny. Kenny was raised by a very harsh mother. She belittled him, she put him down, she would not listen to him, and she felt like that he was wrong in just about everything he did. She called him stupid, she called him irresponsible, and that's what he was raised on for 17 years of his life until he left home. And what happened was is that because of what he felt about this, and he knew his mother was wrong, but he couldn't feel that his mother was wrong. And so what he wanted to do was not to forgive her. He wanted not to let go of that, and he blamed her for everything. He blamed her for the fact that he could not keep a job very easily when he was in his 20s. He blamed her for the fact that he was depressed during his early 20s, which by the time he was 30 years old, moved into clinical depression. So finally, he had to see a therapist. And when he went to the therapist's office, the therapist started to talk and asked him what the problem was. And he explained all the things his mother did wrong, and that was his problem, and that he just could not forgive her. And the therapist started talking about forgiveness, and he said, "You heard me. I am not going to forgive her. I am not here to forgive her, and I will not forgive her." Well, over about a year's time of sessions, he came to the point where he was able to literally forgive his mother, because he started to understand that by not forgiving, he was hurting himself. And once he went through that process, what he did is he moved out of town. He started to pursue his dreams. He started to get a better education. He started to see himself in a different light. And that's what happens when we forgive. We free ourselves up to be the spiritual beings that we are. And that's what happened for Kenny. Maybe some of you have something in your past that you resent, something that you feel was wrongful to you, being done wrongfully to, somebody who maybe betrayed you. What do we do with that? What we do is we let it bring it, we bring it up from our shadow side. That's where it usually stays, on the shadow side, in the darkness. We allow it to come up and we look at it in the light. And when we look at it in the light, what happens, we're able to see the truth that forgiveness helps me You know, not being willing to forgive is kind of like stabbing yourself with a knife and thinking the other person's going to bleed. That's really what happens when we understand that we are really stabbing ourselves in the back or in the side or wherever. And when we start to understand that when we release that, we can go on with our lives. We can be more spiritual. We can let go of things that maybe bothered us even more than Mama and Kenny had. And that as we do that, we grow into a prosperity consciousness. You can't feel prosperous when you really, literally have a thorn in your side that you're not willing to pull out. And so we learn to forgive. The second thing is attitude. And Charles Fillmore talked a lot about attitude. You know, I have his book here called Prosperity. Now, some people, I don't know, just find this a little complicated or dry and old. I've had this book since 1997. I have notes in it. I read it occasionally. But there's one part of it that I want to share with you. And it is what he said, if I can get this to go. Okay, there we go. It's what he said on page 59 and 60 in his book on prosperity. And he said that, what are the rules of the law? First, God is good and all his creations are good. When you get that firmly fixed in your mind, you are bound to demonstrate good, and nothing but good can come into your life. He said, pray like this, that I am a child of absolute good. God is good and I am good. Everything that comes into my life is good, and I'm going to have only the good. Establish this consciousness, and only the good will be attracted to you, and your life will be a perpetual joy. I cannot tell you why this is true, but I know that it is, and that you can prove it for yourself to your satisfaction. So, forgiveness, and then an attitude. Create a prosperity attitude. And after you've done your forgiveness work, you're able to do that because you see yourself differently and you start to understand. Now, God is not good or bad. Please don't get that confused. It's just that the energy of the universe gives us the ability to change our perspective, to see ourselves differently, to understand that we are love and that we can love others and we can love ourselves. And when we use that power of love, we bring good into the world, good into our lives, good into all that we are and all that we experience. Good, like each of you are as members of Unity Renaissance. You're experiencing the good because you're experiencing each other. You're experiencing the good because you're experiencing love. You're experiencing the good because you experience the music here and the people here. And so we have this opportunity to use and make our attitudes in such a way, or create our attitudes in such a way, that we are able to be truly prosperous. And you don't have to do much work. What you do is you let it come to you, whatever your need happens to be. Yes, you use faith to make that happen. And we can use the law of mind action to make that happen. But faith primarily is taking an idea that you have imagined and then turning it in and demonstrate it in your life. Every one of us has that ability, have been created with that ability, but we have to do some work on focusing on that and understanding how the process works. And then the next thing, as we look at it, is the story of the prodigal son. Charles Fillmore did a great job in that book on talking about the prodigal son. Maybe you felt like this, I don't know. But in Jesus' day and time, as most of us know, the oldest son inherited everything. The next one got hardly nothing. could work for the oldest son, but that's about it. And so the youngest son of a farmer, let's say, went to his father, who was very wealthy, and said, you know, I'd like to have whatever I'm going to get now, and I'm going to go and I'm going to build a future for myself. And so his father said, fine, I'll be glad to do that. And he gave his second oldest son a sum of money, and the son went into the far country. Now, the far country means he walked away from home, away from that which created him. The far country means I go out and I don't make very good decisions, because the far country is a material country. And as this fellow went out, as most of you may know the story, he went out and he lost all his money. And then in order to survive, he worked for a pig farmer. And he fed the pigs. He was in the mud with the pigs sometimes. And he felt like his life was the life of a pig. So what he did was he came to his senses. Smart guy. Went back home, expecting his father to confront him, to maybe even kick him out. But instead, his father greeted him with open arms. His father loved him and proved his love to him. His father gave him a new robe, gave him new sandals. He did all the things necessary to make his son feel totally at home and welcome back home. Well, there was another son, the oldest son. And he was wondering why his father treated him this way. And his father said, you're going to get what you deserve and what you have a right to. But let's love our brother and my son, because he's come back home to rest. He's come back home and he's going to find this prosperous mentality, this prosperous understanding of life that you and I have continued to have, and he missed out on. And so there was this forgiveness, there was this treatment of the of his son in such a way that he was able to literally bring into being and demonstrate through Jesus' story prosperity at the love level. Then we look at the universal laws of prosperity. Now grab hold of your chairs, because I'm going to talk about money a little bit. Okay? Let me just tell you my philosophy on tithing, and you may never hear this from a pulpit before. It's just what I believe. One of the things I've done is studied all of the statistics on tithing. And in 1997, 2.5% of the public who go to church actually tithes 10% of their income to the church. They may have tithes elsewhere, but to the church. And today it's less than 2%, so it's dwindling, the idea of tithing. It's not that I'm not for tithing, I personally tithe. Not all of it to the church, but I personally give away 10% of my income or more. What I do believe, though, is more important than the tithing, it's not the amount, it's being willing to tithe or give on a regular basis. I call it consistent giving. And I found that when I talked about that at other churches, people catch on to that. And they say, I can consistently give. For example, there's a woman who gave $19 a month since the year 2007. Now you add that up, that's about $5,000 or $6,000 that she gave over that period of time, over that time, since when she started giving. And that's not shabby, okay? That helps the coffers. That helps the ministry do what it's supposed to do. And so she couldn't give a great deal, but she could give $19 a month and has continued to do that even to this day. So that's consistent giving, the power of consistent giving. And one of the things I would recommend to you, if you are not a consistent giver, you give thought to it. You give thought to it. And do what you're comfortable with. If you want to give 20%, you're welcome to give 20%. But if you want to give 5% or 2% or 3%, feel welcome to do that. Because every gift you make is important. And it's important to you, because what happens is when we find ourselves working under universal law, For example, there's the law of circulation. What I give out comes back to me. And I don't know if it comes back 10 times or not. That's what the Hebrew scripture says. But it doesn't make any difference. It comes back. Whatever I'm willing to let go will come back to me through the law of circulation. And one of the things that we have to do and remember is that we need to honor the law of circulation by receiving. A lot of us have been trained, maybe not anymore, but have been trained that if you ask me and tell me that you want to give me something, I go, oh no, you don't need to do that. Or I'm going to buy your lunch. Oh, no, you don't need to do that. You're turning down your good because you're not allowing that law of circulation to happen. When I was in El Paso a lot of years ago, I had a young couple come into my office after a message one Sunday. And I was getting ready to go to Union Village. I wanted to go for 2 weeks, but I could only go for 1 week financially. And what they did is they gave me a check for $600. Yes, I could go to Unity Village for 1 week, get all my meals, do everything I was taking for $600. And they gave me that check, or $400, I'm sorry. And what happened was, initially I wanted to say, oh, don't do that. But what I had learned was not to turn down my good, to accept it graciously and to appreciate them for it. And so instead of saying, don't do that, I said, thank you very much. And later sent them a note telling them what I used the money for, because it did bless my life in that moment. And so we need to understand this law of circulation. And then we also have a law of giving and receiving. And I've talked about that indirectly. And it's not much different than circulation. It's just a different way of saying it. That what I give from my heart, I receive back into my heart. What I give because I care, I am then cared for. That's all I know. That's what I understand. And it makes my life complete. It's not the amount of compassion I show. It's not the amount of love I show. It's the fact that we are able to show it at the right time to the right person, so that we are honoring this giving and receiving, a universal law of life. And then there is also the law of creativity. And the law of creativity says what I started off with, that you have within yourselves, we all have within ourselves, Unity Renaissance has within itself all the ability to create whatever it is we desire to create. Do we want to create togetherness or separation? Do we want to create love or judgment? Do we want to create education and take advantage of that, or do we just want to kind of sit it through? It's up to each of us to decide what we're going to do. And there's nothing wrong with sitting some things through. We can't do everything, but we can do a lot when we put our mind to it. When we decide that we want to be prosperous in our lives, and I'm not talking about money here, I'm talking about being prosperous from the perspective of how I feel about myself. When I'm willing to do that, then I can take into consideration this creativity and I can be more creative. And then there's this law of supply and demand. I used to be a financial planner, and one of the ways I would start a class, right at Old Dominion University, as a matter of fact, many, many years ago, I would start off a class by saying, there's only so much money to go around. That's a little opposite of what Unity says. And as I studied it, and have looked at the history over the last 20 years, I found out there's plenty of money to go around. Whether I have it or not, doesn't make any difference, but there's plenty of money to go around. The supply of money has actually increased. And I'm not going to get into the political side of that at all this morning, but it has increased. There's more money in the universe today than there was 20 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago. So money does increase. And the law of supply and demand doesn't say there's only so much. It says there is plenty. Partake. Bless yourself as you do that. And I know that this morning I am talking to a group of people overall who are wealthy compared to most of the people in the world, who Most of you probably get a meal whenever you want it. I get a few more than I should. All of you have the opportunity to probably drive a car, own a car, or you can get to public transportation. So this is not an unprosperous ministry. It is very prosperous, and you are all very blessed. And because of that, you bless us back with your gifts and your tithes. And how much, again, is up to you. How often, I recommend it be consistent on a regular basis, as I said. And so as we come back to this idea of a spiritual perspective on prosperity, there's one thing that I do want to emphasize that I did not, and that's the idea of service. Now, some people, and it's okay, will provide service, but they don't feel like they can give. But service really means to serve the ministry in many ways as much as you can. In four T's, it's tithing, it's time, it's something else, the four T's, okay? Obviously I wasn't going to say this, and now I know what I do know what the four T's are. Tithing, time, talent, okay? And if you put those together, you end up with an understanding of prosperity and an ability to serve. So it is serving each other, and you do it beautifully. I've watched you when people are sick, how you come together, how the compassionate care team comes together to support them, how the men of unity and the soul sisters, is that what it is? The sisterhood, I'm sorry. You are soul sisters, though, aren't you? No, okay, yes, all right. But the sisterhood, how that comes together. I mean, I've only been here just about a year, so I'll get the names eventually, okay? But anyway, so that what happens is when we serve one another in the way that we need to be served. We serve each other, as you know, through the power of love. And love is that ongoing supply of energy that lives within you and within me. And so we use our service, our time of service, to not only support each other, but to support ourselves. What comes around, goes around. And so, I want to congratulate you guys on how prosperous you are in every way. Now, I know our budget, and we're going to talk about that at town hall meeting, is off this year. But you know what a budget is? It's a projection of what you think might happen. I want you to think about that. It's a projection of what you think might happen. And sometimes it happens better, and sometimes it happens less. Sometimes substantially less. But the real key is, are you able to maintain the services that the ministry needs do you have enough money in order for the ministry to be successful? You do. And this is all temporary. I want to share that. This is all temporary. Sometimes we create a budget and we knock the ball out of the park. Another year we create a budget and it comes a little short. Or we create a budget and it's just barely over. And we go, what a great job we did. But when we have a budget that's not on track, we might become concerned and think we're not doing a great job, and we are. I just wanted to share that this morning with you and let you know that we are in good shape because of the staff we have, because of the leadership we have, because of the board we have. We are prosperous. Please remember that. We are prosperous. Thank you. Okay. So now let's prepare ourselves for meditation. And as we do so, we just gently breathe in. For a moment, focus on your breath. And through the breath, we experience the deepest part of ourselves, the Christ within us. And in understanding that and feeling that, we're able to open our hearts, knowing there's nothing to fear and everything to gain. So this morning, look at your screen of life and see how truly prosperous you are, and give thanks for that. Be in gratitude, knowing that when we're in gratitude, we in a sense of understanding ourselves. And so as we move along this morning, we come to understand that we are in this moment, in a moment of gratitude. So in the silence, be grateful. Be thankful. Now take another breath, a little deeper, knowing that as you come back to this time and place, that you are coming back with an open heart, a thankful heart, a grateful heart, knowing that you are prosperity in action. And so it is, in the name and the power of the Christ within each of us. Amen.
Flow, Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace. Show, Spirit, show through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding.